Hello, this is Barry from the Europe Direct Information Centre at Blanchardstown Library, and we're back with another Ask Europe video, which we're doing for Europe Day 2020. And now I am joined with a very good friend of mine, all the way from Italy, and this is Susanna. Hello, Susanna.
Ciao, Barry. This is Susanna, and hello, Europe Direct Blanchardstown.
And thank you.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Thank you so much for agreeing to join us today and answer a few questions about Italy.
Well, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Okay, will we get started?
Let's do it.
Let's go. So, first question's an easy one. Where exactly are you from in Italy, and will you tell us a little bit about it?
Okay, so I live in the northeast of Italy, in the very last region of the east, which is Friuli Venezia Giulia, which is roughly an hour and a half from Venice, which is probably best known than Friuli. It's a small region. It's about 150 square kilometers and about 1.5 million people. But what is good about it is that it has a lot of diversity in it. Like, there's different languages, because we speak Italian, but in certain areas we speak German, in the northern part, and then in other areas we speak Slovenian, in the eastern part, and then we also have our own language, which is Friulano, which is a language in itself, and it's really difficult to understand even for us Italians. So, you know, it's just a little world in itself. And one thing I like about it, even though it's not terribly famous with tourists, is that you can go to sandy beaches, you can go up the mountains on the Dolomites, you can go, you know, to rocky beaches near Trieste, and you have a bit of all different kinds of sceneries. You have wineries, you have really, really lovely sceneries, you can go on the bike. So there's a lot of things you can do. And the fact that it's a small size makes it easier to go around and to explore and everything. So then, of course, we also have a sort of a big city in terms of London, but it is a big city, which is Trieste. And that's a beautiful city with a really nice square, Piazza Vita, which is on the sea.
And there's a great, there's a great Irish connection with Trieste, isn't there?
There is indeed, because James Joyce lived there for a while, and there's a big statue of him near the center. And you know, when you're in Trieste and all the light, it's all lit up, and you're looking at the sea, it's just sheer beautiful. So, you know, it's a nice place to be. It's a bit on the further side, but it's nice.
Well, I certainly have great memories from when we visited you there. And
yes.
Trieste was wonderful, and Venice isn't too far away either, and you've beautiful little villages
exactly.
Like Cividale del Friuli, I remember, so I'd highly recommend people to visit the region. Okay, will we move on?
Sorry?
Will we move on with the next question?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, so, and this is the perfect question I know for you. What is your favourite book from your country, and tell us a little bit about it and why you like it?
Okay, well, I have to say this is a very difficult question because I read a lot, and to actually choose one was very hard. But I think my choice fell in on a book called Inshallah, which doesn't quite sound Italian, and it isn't, it's Arabic, but it's by an Italian author called Oriana Fallaci, who was a journalist, and the book talks about, it's a novel, but it's a historical novel set in Lebanon at the time of the Civil War, so in the 80s, when there was an Italian contingent there, together with Americans and French and other international contingents. And the reason I like it is, it's just full of humanity, because you have the Italian guys, which can range from the warmonger to the pacifist to the intellectual to the man from the street who can barely speak Italian, let alone English or French. And then you have the Lebanese people, like there's the prostitute, there's the little kid who lost his mother, There's the, you know, the politicians, the terrorists. There's a lot of different kind of, it's a sort of a choral novel, if you like. And it just follows historical events of the time. So I like it because it's real and it gives you a really good idea of what war is about and what life is about in a very difficult circumstances. And I have to say that the first time that I read it, it completely, it brought me there, like I was there. And it was heart-wrenching, intense, like you need, you know, it's hard to read because it's war, but it's just, it remained with me, and I read it at different times of my life and always enjoyed it really very much.
Just shows you that the power of books and of reading, doesn't it? It's really,
amazing.
You know, fantastic.
Absolutely amazing.
Okay, that was fascinating. We'll see, can we find a translation of that for the library, maybe?
That'll be good.
Okay, we'll move on to number three. So, who is a person from your country, past or present, who you admire and why?
Well, we're kind of staying in the similar scenario because I selected Oriana Fallaci. It wasn't easy, again, because there's so many people, you know, even historically, and I love history, so I kind of know it a bit. But the reason I chose her is because, well, she was a journalist, the war correspondent in the 60s and 70s. She was the first woman war correspondent from Italy, and she went to Vietnam, she went to the Indo-Pakistani War, she went to the Middle East. She was on the front line constantly. And when she was a teenager, she participated in the resistance here in Italy. So she was an anti-fascist and was up to a point, I explain briefly shortly. She interviewed a lot of not famous people, like politicians and historical people, being famous for interviewing Khomeini in Iran, and throwing up her veil while she was interviewing him. They nearly threw her out, so that was good. And at the same time, look, she was really tough, a tough woman, and that's why I selected her. She was very brave, she was proud, she was very intelligent and very cultured, and I love that about her. At the same time, she fell in love with a Greek activist who was fighting against dictatorship in the 70s in Greece. And she was a different woman altogether, and we know this because she wrote a book about it, so called The Man, which was about this man. At the end, unfortunately, after September the 11th, she got a bit, she wasn't the same person anymore, because she was always for, you know, people fighting against all kind of ism. That's what she would say, fascism, totalitarianism, and all that sort of thing. But then towards the last few years, she was kind of the bombing, the incident of September the 11th, because she was living in New York, kind of hit her really badly. So she went a bit against, you know, Islam or terrorism and all that. And in a way, like that, I couldn't agree with what she was saying, but at the same time, that made her humane. Like she, you know, she changed.
Yeah, a human with
life
thoughts.
Changed for her, and that was fine. That was awesome.
Yeah.
But she remains a great person for me, great woman.
Okay, and what's been interesting is in a few of these discussions, we've actually heard a few people have given some very trailblazing women as their most admired person. So that trend is continuing, which is great. Okay. So the next question is everyone I've spoken to, I've said this question's been my favorite because of when I visited their country. So will you tell me a little bit about your favorite food from Italy and why you like it?
Oh God, I'm going to be very, very predictable.
Okay.
Like my favorite, I know it's silly, but really well-made, classic margherita pizza is what I love. If I wanted to select something from my area, then it'll be something you know very well.
I know what you're going to say.
Which is a typical dish made with cheese,
yes,
and potatoes, which is called frigo.
Yes.
It's very heavy.
Very
so
heavy.
So not for somebody who's on a diet,
mm-hmm.
but it's delicious. So, but pizza will have to be my first choice, I have
to say. Well, I agree with you on both of those. And having had frico more than once, I can confirm that it's absolutely delicious. But you're right, it's so heavy. It's very, you won't have to eat for days afterwards. Okay, now, the next question is, apart from your own country, obviously, what is your favourite European country and why?
Well, I think you can probably guess. I have to say, and not because, you know, we're doing this for the Blanchardstown Library. I love Ireland. I fell in love with Ireland back in 1999 when I came over for studying for some research I was doing on my thesis, and I just fell in love with the place. It's just the people, the atmosphere, the light. Everything about Ireland is fantastic. Irish people know how to have a good time. They don't take themselves seriously. They're very caring, and they're very, very warm and welcoming. I just love every bit of it. And, you know, they gave us U2, they gave us James Joyce, they gave us Yeats, they gave us a lot of things. And one thing I love about them is that because it pictures them very well. You know, Freud said that they can't be subject to psychoanalysis because you're just such geniuses, such fantastic people. Like, it's just, there's no one like you. And, you because you're Irish, but, you know, Ireland has something about it that is absolutely special. And I can say it because I live with it.
You did, and you know how to flatter your audience, that's for sure. And I'm glad you mentioned U2 because we've been to U2 concerts together and had a great time.
Yeah,
yeah, I remember it well.
That was fantastic.
In Croke Park several years ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
So moving on. So obviously, a lot of my work involves the Europe Direct Information Centre in Blanchardstown Library. So I'm going to turn to the EU now. Can you tell me what do you think has been the main benefit for Italy for being a member of the European Union?
Well, I think Italy certainly had a lot of economical benefits in the sense that it has access to, you know, free trade within the EU countries. It can travel easily within the EU. You can find jobs because let's face it, unfortunately, the situation economically is not great internally. Access to credit is certainly better with the euro than it would be with our own currency, and those are the economical ones, obviously. On the other hand, there are a lot of cultural advantages as well, so certainly I can't see any downside to being part of such a group of, you know, different cultures and different way of thinking, but then we're all part of the same thing.
Well,
helps, actually.
One of the expressions we often use is united in diversity. So we're diverse, but we're all united.
Exactly, exactly. And we have a history behind us that kind of glue us together in a way.
Absolutely, and it's interesting you spoke about travelling to Ireland and working there, and nearly everybody I've spoken to for Ask Europe, we have a similar story. Either they've lived here in Ireland or I've lived in their country, and we've all been able to travel and work and study in each other's countries, which is great.
Exactly.
And make new friends, of course.
Yes.
There you go. Now, so we'll stick with the EU. What would you like to see the European Union concentrate on in the next 10 years or so? What's an important issue to you?
Well, what I have to say now is necessarily economic policy, because what hit us since March is just something so huge and so unprecedented that we need to stick together. So we need to say, and I know a lot is being done, But as you know, I think together we can win. Together we can overcome the difficulties that we're having at the moment. If we start to split apart, that's going to do damage not only to the weak ones, let's call them, but also to the strong ones in the long run. So I hope that cohesion and centralized economic policy continues to be on the forefront of the EU policies. And then on the other side, I must add also the equal opportunities, because I truly believe that there's still a lot to be done. And even in looking at some countries like Finland, like my company, for example, is from Finland, so I kind of got to know them a bit better.
Another great example of European unity.
Countries are certainly far advanced compared to us, and compared to Italy, for example. So I think equal opportunity is certainly another area that I'd like to concentrate on. But firstly, it has to be the economic one.
Absolutely. And it's interesting that you said that the company you work for is from Finland, and it's another great example of some of the advantages of the EU, that you can be living in Italy, working for a company from Finland, and speaking to somebody from Ireland, and it just shows that it's one of the great advantages. That's great. So we've two questions to go. So say I've never been to Italy before, or your region, or what's the one place I should definitely visit, and why?
Well, I'm afraid you already visited, but you could go back.
Yes.
Because we probably know everybody. There's a lot. There's Rome. There's Florence. There's Milan. There's Naples. There's all that. But I'm gonna stick with my region because it's not so well known. So I'd like to advertise it a bit.
Yeah.
And I think there's a little gem called Cividale, the Friuli, which is probably in the middle of the region, pretty much. And it doesn't have necessarily a lot of things in terms of, although it used to be, it was founded by the Romans. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of, Caesar's, Forum Iulii was the original name. So there's the Caesar statue and a lot of Roman related history that you can see. And then it was the siege of the first government of the Longobards. So there's a little temple, and then there's a hippodium. I don't know. Anyway, some vaults under. Sorry. And but what's great about it is just charming. Once you step in it, it's just every little corner is really, really nice, and it's not very well traded with tourism and all that, but every corner you look at is just really, really nice. And then there's this lovely bridge over the Natisone River, and there's a little legend that it was built with the help of the devil.
Yes,
it's called actually the Bridge of the Devil.
Yes,
and that's because it's a really long bridge, but with an arch that actually sits on a really big rock. So the legend goes that the people of Cividale asked the devil, made a pact with the devil to actually build the bridge. And the devil wanted, that was okay, but they had to give them the soul of the first person who would go through the bridge. But the Cividale people were very smart, so they said, okay, fair enough. So he helped build the bridge in the night. During the night, and then the day after, they just had a pig walking as the first person walking by the bridge. So the devil was kind of cheated, and he had to just take the soul of the pig. So, but aside from that, it's just one of those little towns that, because Venice has a lot and Rome has a lot, one of those little towns that you want to get lost in and just wander around and sit for a cup of coffee or something to eat and wander around in the next in the cathedral and then the piazza. There's a lot to
Yeah.
see. So.
Well, I have great memories of going there with you a few years ago, and anyone who's watched my photography classes on the Fingal Libraries YouTube channel will have seen that bridge from Cividale del Friuli, and I spoke in glowing terms about the town in the video, so you can see it there. And Susanna's absolutely right. It's a beautiful little town, and well worth a visit. Little and less known, so not packed with tourists, and it's quite authentic as well. Okay, we've one more question to go. This is, and I like to finish up with a fun question. So, what is a stereotype about your country, and is it true? Before you answer, I know for a fact that you speak with your your hands.
There's a lot of stereotypes about Italians. Most of them are true, but
Okay.
probably the one that is the most true or the truest is we're absolutely very serious about food. And we spend a lot of time thinking about it, planning and eating and cooking. And when you think about it, even the name, when you say you want to be in company with your friends or in your friend's company, company comes from two Latin words,
Okay.
cum panem, that's with
Right.
bread.
Yeah.
So the idea that getting together is about food, so it's about
Okay.
eating. So we have a lot of enthusiasm about that. Look at me while I'm talking about it. And I think you still remember
I do.
a lunch at my place where you, at some point, you just said, okay, no, enough, I can't take it
That's
anymore.
true, yeah, and that's saying a
Stop.
lot for me.
Yeah, no, that's not a stereotype. That's a reality. So.
Okay, well, Susanna, that's been absolutely fantastic. Thank you so much for speaking to us. We've learned so much about Italy and about especially the Friuli region in the north, and I'd advise everyone to look up the region and find out about it. I have great memories from there, and consider taking a trip. So we'll leave it at that for now.
Okay, thank you very
Okay.
much, and thank you, Europe Direct. And bye bye, Blanchestown.
Okay, ciao.
Bye.